The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Wow, I wasn't sure what we were going to have with the first day of spring, first weekend of spring break, but it looks like we got a good group today. That's fantastic. All right, come on up and don't sit down, but make a line right across the bottom of the steps, okay? We're going to play a game today. All right, everybody ready? All right, this game is called Mirror, all right? And Mirror means I'm going to do something and you need to be like the mirror, okay? All right, so you're going to be kind of imitating me. All right, y'all ready? Okay, so how am I standing? So you got to stand like me, okay? All right, you ready? Here we go. Okay. All right, you're doing pretty good. You're remembering that a mirror goes the opposite. That's very good, because if I put up my right hand, what hand are you supposed to put up? Your left hand, right? Because if you put up this hand, you put up the left hand, it matches. But if you put up the right hand, it doesn't match. Okay? All right? And so, in other words, if I was facing like this, then that would be the hand you put up. But we're looking in a mirror. Okay? Now, were you able to do exactly what I did exactly when I did it? No? Okay, what happens if I tell you that this time, when we play the game, I am going to put this hand up, and then I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and put it on this hip. Okay? And then I'm going to do the same thing with this one. Put my hand up, count 1, 2, 3, and then put it on that hip. All right, so you ready? So we're going to start like this. All right, so here we go. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Now, which was easier? The first game or the second game? The second, why? Why? Okay, but you knew what was going to happen, right? Well, our lessons today in the Philippians, Paul is talking about be imitators of me, which is what you were doing. You were imitating me, okay? All right, because there are other people out there doing other things. But the other thing is, if you're imitating somebody, is it easier to imitate them if you know what's coming? If you know them? It is, isn't it? It is easier to imitate somebody if you know them. Well, in our psalm today, it says several wonderful things. It says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." If we're trying to imitate Jesus, doesn't it make sense that we would want to know about him? So it'd be easier for us to follow, like you had the instructions in the game. But then it goes on. It says, "You speak in my heart and say, 'Seek my face, your face, Lord, will I seek.'" Where do we seek the Lord's face? You did it. You pointed right here. You pointed right here. Here's where we learn how to imitate Jesus. Here's how we learn to love like he does and all of that. Back then, back a while ago, it used to be a thing called WWJD. What would Jesus do? I kind of liked it because it made everybody think about, if I'm in a situation, maybe I need to think like Jesus. What would Jesus do? Okay? But I kind of didn't like that because I got, for a couple of reasons. One, that means I need to know what Jesus did, and two, it means I have to stop and think about it. Okay? Instead of knowing what Jesus would do. That's what I thought was more important, knowing what Jesus would do in this situation. Then I wouldn't have to stop and think about it. That's what we do here. We hear his word, we hear the words in his song, we hear through the words in the scripture, we come to Sunday school, we get to know Jesus, and we get to know what to do. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be imitators of you. Thank you for giving us this place where we can come to learn about you and know what you would do in situations that we may face in our life. Help us to, like it says in the psalm today, always seek to be in this place. Always seek to live in your love and learn about you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you for playing with me today.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today opens up with several Pharisees coming up to warn Jesus that Herod is out to get him. And that kind of puzzled me, or surprises me, that the Pharisees are the ones that come and warn Jesus, because it's usually the religious leaders. It might be the Pharisees or scribes or sometimes the Sadducees, sometimes the other religious leaders, who are always trying to pick a fight with Jesus, trying to discredit him. And here, though, we see the Pharisees are the ones who come to warn Jesus. And I kind of thought about that, and I came up with three reasons, possibly, why they came to do that. And one reason was again, to discredit him, or to get him off the scene. You know, if they could come up and say, hey, Herod's out to kill you, maybe Jesus would just run off and he would hide, and then they didn't have to deal with Jesus anymore because he wouldn't be out in the public. Another reason would be, well, if he did go out and hide, then he would be discredited because he would be afraid. If he truly was the Son of Man, if he truly was the Messiah, he would not be afraid of anything. And third reason is maybe they were actually legitimately concerned about Jesus. There were several religious leaders who did follow Jesus. I know as far as the Sanhedrin was basically like a Congress. They governed much of the everyday things of Palestine. They made the rules and they made the decisions and made theological decisions. And so they were the controlling body, and at least two on the Sanhedrin were secret followers of Jesus, and that was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And so it's possible that several of the rabbis and several of the Pharisees, several of the other religious leaders then too, actually believed Jesus was who he was. But for whatever reason, these Pharisees come and they warn Jesus of Herod. And it was a legitimate warning. Herod was notorious. He was ruthless. He was so focused on holding on to his power because the size of land that the Herods controlled had shrunk. Herod's father had controlled all of Palestine. This Herod here controlled only the northern part, and the southern part then was divided out for Herod's brother. And so Herod's main goal is to retain power and to gain more power, gain more favor with the Romans. Herod himself was part Jewish, and he was known as the king of the Jews. But Herod was all in for himself. He was there for the power. He was there for the wealth. He cared nothing for the people. He was ruthless. Herod was the one who had killed John the Baptist, and it had also been reported or thought that he had killed at least two of his sons because he thought his sons were plotting to take over his rule. So Jesus does have a legitimate concern here, because Jesus was going around the countryside in the jurisdiction of Herod, And people were following Jesus. They were flocking to Jesus. And any time people are flocking to another leader, that's reason to give the current leader a reason to pay attention, a reason to be jealous. And I'm sure Herod was jealous. He was fascinated to a certain extent, but he was jealous. And so it's a legitimate thing to threaten Jesus, or to make it sure that Jesus is not welcome, or to have Jesus arrested, or to have him killed. And it's within the authority of Herod to do any of those things. But Jesus responds to that threat. You know, when we are threatened, usually that level of fear goes up. And reaction to fear is usually two different directions. One is flight, to run away. And I think if the Pharisees were not legitimate in their warnings, that's probably one of the things they were hoping to do, was to run away. Or the other thing when we are afraid, is to fight back. Just to fight back, to grab what we can, whether it's a decent fight, whether it's a fair fight, doesn't matter. We are going to fight back. Or whether the threat is even legitimate, we are still going to fight back once we are afraid. But Jesus' response is quite different. He just continues on in what he's doing. Jesus continues to be obedient to the Father. Jesus is sent to this earth to do a certain task, and that's what he's going to do. And so he says, I am going to continue casting out demons and performing cures today, tomorrow, and the next day. He's going to continue on proclaiming the kingdom of God until his work is done. He is heading towards Jerusalem. And that as well then too is what we are to look at, and how we are to go. We continue on in our faith. We continue on following Jesus. Just as Jesus, the fear did not bother Jesus, the fear of this world, the things that go on in this world, do concern us. They can hurt us. They are legitimate threats. But at the same time, our goal is to follow Christ. Our goal is to remain faithful. Not to keep ourselves safe, but it is to remain faithful to Christ. You know, we think about powerful rulers. We think about the strong men. We think about we need strong leaders. We need... And when they are ruthless, or when they just do things for power, there's an issue with that. A good leader, a strong leader, someone who is strong is not necessarily ruthless. Someone who is strong cares for the people, cares for whoever they have jurisdiction over. That is a strong person, because it's very hard to do. You know how hard it is to make the right decisions. When you are afraid, when you are fearful, again, the common reaction is either flight or fight. We want to get back. We want to get even. Or we would just want to run away from it. We want to ignore it. We want to pretend that it's not there. We run away, or we try to fight back. But the key is just to remain faithful. And that is one of the hardest things to do, is to remain. We started our service off with the Ten Commandments. And, you know, part of that during this time of Lent is to go back and reflect on that. How do I need to change my ways? How have I wandered? How have I strayed off the path of Christ? To get back to that. And it's very difficult to do many times. To break the old habits. Or when everybody else is putting pressure on you. But just to stay faithful to the path of Jesus as we travel through Lent. Jesus here is heading towards Jerusalem. He knows that Jerusalem is dangerous for him. He knows that most of the religious leaders are out to get him. And he makes mention then that it's in Jerusalem where the prophets had died. Again, it goes back to that whole issue of power. The religious leaders did have power. They controlled the daily life, a good portion of the daily life of the people. They were the keepers of the law. And they intimidated people. They castigated people. They had the ability to cast people out of society, where people could not function then within society. And they had control, and they were not about to give it up. And here's this upstart preacher coming around, and he's coming to our city. We need to do away with it. He was a threat. Jesus was a threat. And what Jesus is basically saying here, Jerusalem, with all your beauty, with all your power, because it was the seat of the government, it was also the seat of the religious power, religious teachings, but basically it was an empty shell because they had forgotten who God was. The power was all for themselves. And so it was empty. And whenever that was threatened, again too, Jesus knew his scripture, he knew the Old Testament history, that prophets were killed when they spoke against the people in power. I don't think Jesus was looking or going to Jerusalem for the reason to die. He was going for the reason to fulfill the plan of salvation of the Father. And if that included his death, then he was willing still to go. Like I said, being a Christian, following Christ, doing the right thing is not an easy thing to do. It is tough. For many people, they can never grasp the concept of even following Christ. Why would you do something like that? Why would you treat an enemy kind? Why would you pray for somebody who hurts you? Why would you go to someone who is in prison? Why would you visit them? Why would you risk your own health visiting someone who is sick? It just doesn't make sense to this world. But to Christians, it means everything because we are following Christ. We recognize that our brothers and sisters are brothers and sisters in Christ, that each and every one of us are creatures of God, that we are made in his image. We recognize that. And it's hard to remember, especially when we live in fear, especially when things threaten us. And here in this gospel lesson as well, we hear that compassion of Jesus, that he's willing to go to Jerusalem. He's willing to take whatever the consequences are that are dished out by this world. But he also says, I wish I was as a mother hen and were willing to take you under my wings, but you are unwilling. My grandfather was a pastor, and back in the early part of the 1900s, and he was in the rural area of North Texas and was not paid very well. And during the years of the Depression, it was very tough. So in order to help support his family, he took on a part-time job, second job, of being an insurance adjuster. That when storms would come through, and up in North Texas, there were a number of tornadoes or fires or different things that went through, a lot of times he would take my father along with him when my father was a little boy. Either before my father went to school or when school was out, he would take my father along to open all the gates out on the country roads. Because it wasn't only the farm gates or ranch gates, but many of the public roads also had fences and gates running across the road. So he would take my father along. And so my father and my uncle were great storytellers. And we'd love to, my cousin and I loved to listen to them. And this is a story that I had heard that Grandpa went out to make an adjustment. A farmer's barn had burned down. And so my grandfather went out there to assess it. And it wasn't only the barn that had burned down, but because the fire was so hot, it also burned down the chicken coop. And so my grandfather and dad went out there, and the farmer had already started poking around to see if there was anything that was salvageable in the destruction. And the farmer was telling him, yeah. And I looked at, and I came close to the chicken coop, and I heard cheep, 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 cheep. And I thought, surely there could be no live chickens in here. And he poked through some of the rubbish, the burned out rubbish, and underneath was a charred hen, but underneath the hen were live chicks. Evidently, the mother hen, sensing the danger that was coming with the fire, had gathered all her chicks underneath her wing and sat down and had protected them. Her wings and her body were enough to shield the chicks, that they survived, and then they thrived. Jesus wants to take us under his wing, that even when we are threatened by danger, even when we are living in fear, whether it is political fear, whether it is military fear, whether it is fear of a diagnosis or fear of disease, God wants to protect us, to take us under his wing. We are threatened in this world. But how do we handle that threat other than being faithful to God? Because we know whatever this world dishes out is not going to be the end of it, because we do have a final end. And as we march through this Lenten season, let us always remember to follow Christ as we move towards Jerusalem with him. Even though there may be danger there, there is also new life. And it is life for us forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.